This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Muslims in Michigan face a dual challenge. They want to prove that they stand in solidarity with America against extremist groups like ISIS. And they must keep their young people from being radicalized by extremists. My next two guests are involved in both efforts. With us now are Imam Yahya Luqman with the Ahmadiyya Muslim Community. We're very happy to have you with us on Stateside, Imam.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And also with him is Mayor Osman with the Ahmadiyya Muslim Youth Association of Metro Detroit. Welcome to Stateside, Mayor.
Thank you so much.
Imam Luqman, what kind of place would you say is Michigan for young Muslim Americans?
Historically, Michigan has been the home of the largest Muslim population in America, going back to the early 1900s, and especially the population. There was an increase in the population in the Detroit area in 1910 to 1920s, and that has been continuing ever since then. So historically, that early immigration of Muslims to America, and especially the state of Michigan, it signifies that, we have been in the United States for now three generations and have called Michigan our home for, those three generations, and consider ourselves Americans and citizens of the state of Michigan.
So I'm interested, as you work with the youth through the Ahmadiyya Muslim Youth Association, Mayor, what do you hear? What questions or concerns or challenges do you hear from the young people?
Yes, yeah, so I would say that a lot of times young Muslim Americans, young Muslim men, especially youth, whether they be in high school or college, obviously they're in this day and age, post 9/11, they tend to, have like this, not really divide, but more of a an issue between trying to make sure that they stay true to their religion and their faith, but at the same time immerse themselves within society to the point where it might be best for them sometimes to, let's say, hide their faith, which is something that we would definitely not recommend that they do, because being a Muslim and being an American should be synonymous with one another. It should be celebrated. So a lot of times the things that they're worried about and things that they question are cultural things. For example, if Islam says that you should not drink alcohol, and a young Muslim youth, his friends in college or in high school will be experimenting or going to parties, and the question then poses in their mind, should we go ahead and do this? Should we not? Should we refrain from speaking with members of the opposite gender, both Muslim young Muslim men and young Muslim women? So those types of questions always come up more and more, because there tends to be a little bit of a cultural divide when you are so engrossed within your faith.
And certainly, Imam, you pointed out the very, very, long history of Muslims in Michigan, in southeast Michigan particularly. We've actually explored that often on Stateside. So with that long history in mind, has there been, would you say, a rise in what's commonly known as Islamophobia in Michigan in recent years? Have you sensed that, and are young people in your community sensing that?
Well, I think definitely, and I think it's not just Michigan, but all across the United States. And, I think Islamophobia is attached to a general phenomenon here in the United States that I think everyone is facing and feeling. And that is the polarization of just about every topic, the polarization of ideas on just about every topic, from politics to, what's going on in the economy. And that is now also, coming over into the religious sphere also. That before, pre 9/11, there was much more, I think, a sense of live and let live. And, everyone was getting along, and for the most part. And then obviously you have events like 9/11 that cause those polarization of ideas and ideologies, and then also of political perspectives. And that then adds fuel to the flame, so to speak. And yes, I think there has been an increase in Islamophobia, but also that's given us an opportunity, an opportunity that perhaps a lot of Muslims weren't looking forward to, but an opportunity nonetheless to then to be able to explain our faith and who we are. And in doing so, I think that helps to break down those barriers that have existed for a long, long time, but no one's really talked about.
and now the spotlight is right on that. As you work with the Youth Association of Metro Detroit, the Ahmadiyya Muslim Youth Association, Mayor, can you give us a sense of what young Muslims in Michigan may encounter on a daily basis in terms of feeling pushed away, feeling marginalized, or feeling blamed?
Sure, yes. One thing I can say, especially pertaining to your first question, is that here in Michigan, I would actually have to say that even though, yes, we may experience sometimes a pushback from individuals when they first find out that you are Muslim, there might be, you know, a few characters, individuals out there within our societies that may feel animosity. But for the most part, looking at the rest of the country, Michigan is by far very, very much liberal-minded, very accepting as well, especially the Metro Detroit area. And I think that's due a lot towards the diversity that we have. You know, when you have a pluralistic society, a diverse society, people tend to be much more accepting. So, you know, we have a large Arab and Muslim population here in Michigan. We have a lot of, you know, Chaldeans, Albanians, Italians. If you go into any majority of the high schools in the area or the colleges, there's just such a diverse group of people that youngsters, really, when they're growing up, they don't really have a chance then to say, oh, you're like this or you're bad or whatever it might be. So that's always good coming from this state. But is there still some of that pushback? It happens, unfortunately, all the time. You know, I remember when I was back in high school, even there were instances in which, you know, let's say, for example, I was running for, you know, class treasurer, and, you know, my name is Osman, Osman, and I'll have a poster on the wall, and somebody would put below it Bin Laden, or, you know, when you're trying to encourage people to come to an event of yours, or if you're just passing out a flyer that says, you know, Muslims for Loyalty, hey, we're Americans too, and we want to share and walk in this parade as well. All of a sudden, people start questioning and saying, wait, but why? Or do you want to walk in this July 4th parade? And then the worry starts happening of, are you guys going to be doing something? And it tends to get frustrating, you know, sometimes. I mean, we understand as much as anybody else that security is very, very important, and we want to feel safe as well. We want to be peaceful individuals and want everybody else around us to be safe. But at the same time, if, let's say, every time a terrorist attack happens, then these young Muslim men or these young Muslim women, they have to feel pressured to come out every single time to denounce it. I mean, isn't being a human being enough to know that, yes, obviously, we're going to be denouncing terrorism? So there tends to be a lot of that frustration with the young when they're constantly being poked, and that happens very, very often. And we just want to live our lives just like anybody else in the country and in the world.
There certainly does seem to be a sense that ISIS in particular is very skilled at working through social media and taking advantage of that. I love the way you put that frustration at constantly being poked, constantly having to prove yourself, and using that to kind of get that toe in the door toward recruiting and radicalizing young Muslims. Do you, Imam Luqman, do you talk about radicalization and ISIS directly with the young people in your community?
Yes, you know, actually, this is something we've been doing for a number of years, and I believe perhaps our community was the first in the United States to initiate this dialogue that, you know, we need to be able to talk to our children about the true teachings of Islam compared to whatever ideas that these radicals have and however they are espousing their agenda, and political agenda, I might say, not even religious agenda, and find those factors that make our youth vulnerable to those ideas, and to be able to explain to them that, you know, what these political organizations and terrorist organizations, what they are doing is completely against the teachings of Islam. So we have been doing that for a number of years now.
Meyer, in working with the Youth Association, have you personally been aware of any young people who either have been radicalized or you have pulled them back from that brink?
You know, interestingly enough, our organization, the Ahmadiyya Muslim Youth Association, you know, we're an auxiliary of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, who are Muslims who believe in the Messiah, Mirza Ghulam Ahmad of Qadian. And as, you know, Imam Luqman said, that we are constantly making sure and teaching our youth and teaching our members and even the general public of what Islam truly is, what Islam truly teaches. And our organizational structure is more of a very fine, very nice network. In fact, to put it in comparative terms, I use this sometimes, we're like the Catholics of the Muslim world. because after the demise of our founder, you know, a successorship was established, and we are currently on our fifth successor, the fifth Khalifa of Islam. So we are all very much connected together, and you know, I know all the individuals in our, let's say, Silver Springs chapter in Chicago, all across the country, and we can in fact say that we have not had a case. We have tens of millions of Muslims all over the world, established in 200 countries, and we can say that we have not had an instance of terrorism or radicalization within our community. And it is because of having that structure and that unified leader to teach us and promote what true Islam actually is and what the peaceful message, in fact, is and what we should be doing, what our obligations are towards both our God and, in fact, our fellow man. So I personally experienced and seen any of our individuals become radicalized? No, but that doesn't mean that we should stop teaching them. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't stop teaching, let's say, the general public.
And to that point, I know that you have the Ahmadiyya Muslim Youth Association of Metro Detroit has hosted something called Stop the Crisis with ISIS in capital letters. And my understanding is this is open to everyone, and you would love to see the general public come to this. What's the purpose, and what are you seeking to do?
Yes, thank you. So, yes, our organization, our youth group, the Ahmadiyya Muslim Youth Association, has come up with this seminar, symposium-style type of plan called Stop the Crisis. Our Metro Detroit chapter held one last year at the Rochester Hills Public Library, and we will be doing so again this year at the Rochester Hills Public Library. It's going to be our second annual seminar. It will be on Wednesday, March 2nd at 6:30 p.m., and the objective primarily is to address youth radicalization and clearly discuss and define what the differences are between true peaceful Islam and what extremist groups peddle and promote to radicalize those youth. You know, President Obama actually said after the San Bernardino shootings that, you know, ISIS will be defeated by defeating their ideology and then coming up with a better ideology to combat that. So this basically means if ISIS is distorting Islam to radicalize youth, then our objective and what we should do then is show the true teachings of what Islam is and show that peaceful message in a clear-cut educational and academic way so that individuals are well aware and understand, no, this is what true Islam is, and it would stem that tide of youth radicalization. So with that, in fact, we've launched this campaign called True Islam, and people can go to trueislam.com and they could see 11 specific points that one would in fact endorse to say this is in fact what true Islam believes. 11 basic points. The points are things such as true Islam believes in the separation of mosque and state. True Islam condemns all forms of terrorism. True Islam believes in the equality and empowerment of women. Things that people would say, wait, no, that doesn't seem Islamic. We see Muslims and Muslim nations doing the opposite. Well, they may do the opposite, but what true Islam and the Quran and the sayings of the Prophet Muhammad teach are, in fact, those attributes. So we, in fact, invite everybody to come over to our seminar on the 2nd of March, 6:30, Stop the Crisis, and we'll be discussing that true Islam campaign as well.
Well, it's a great conversation. We'll have to leave it there for now, but we will certainly look forward to continuing it with both of you in the future. It was really, really wonderful talking with you, Imam Yahya Lukman with the Ahmadiyya Muslim Community and Meir Osman with the Ahmadiyya Muslim Youth Association of Metro Detroit. Thanks to both of you so much for being with us on the program today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.